This year we are looking at the Christmas message as found in the Gospel of Matthew. So last Sunday morning, this morning, and maybe one more Sunday morning in the new year, we're going to look at the account of the birth of Jesus in Matthew. And I just want to look at the verses that were read, and we can look at Christmas, can't we? Especially this account here, which we all know so well. We can probably recite these verses off by heart. But the danger is that we can look at what happened with rose-tinted spectacles and romanticize it and think that it was something very comfortable and very lovely. But it wasn't. And especially in this year of COVID and the crisis that we have suffered, it's so encouraging to realize that 2,000 years ago, what happened to these characters in the Christmas story was no easy thing. It was a crisis, right? It was a crisis. So this is my message this morning. Christmas is a crisis. That's the message of Christmas. This last year has been a crisis for us. So things are never going to be the same afterwards, however long it will take for us to come out of this virus situation. Things will take a while to get back to some sort of normality. It's a crisis. A point is reached because of something that's going to change things forever. And that's what Christmas is about. So three reasons why it's a crisis. The first thing is this. It's a crisis in the biggest sense of all. Now, I'm sure things will eventually get back to some sort of normality with us. After the Spanish flu that happened after the First World War, after a few years, things did gradually get back to normal. But the crisis 2,000 years ago changed the history of the whole world forever. Do you agree? It's 2020. Soon it'll be 2021. What does that mean? Wherever in the world you are, it's 2020. Who came up with that number? It's 2020 years since something happened. A crisis, an event. 2020 years since the birth of this wonderful person, Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't that the greatest crisis ever? In that sense, if you think of a crisis as a watershed, the dividing line in the history of the universe. Now then, the question I want to ask is why is it 2,020 years since the birth of Jesus Christ? Why isn't it so many years since the birth of Muhammad, say, or another religious leader? What makes Jesus Christ so unique? Whether we are in a country like ours, which has a Christian heritage, or whether we come from a part of the world where there is very little Christianity. Why? Listen, you've got the answer here. Jesus is unique. If you've got a Bible, look at what happened. The angel came to Joseph, Mary's husband, to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. Mary was pregnant with the baby in her womb, the baby Jesus. And this is what the angel says to Joseph, verse 20. He was afraid because he was in a crisis situation. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what makes Jesus Christ unique. He was conceived, yes, in the womb of a woman, Mary, just as any one of us would have been conceived. But it wasn't another man who caused the conception. Jesus is unique because it was the Holy Spirit who conceived the embryo in Mary's womb. We sometimes call it the miracle of the birth, but the birth was quite normal, wasn't it? It was the conception that was miraculous. The Holy Spirit coming upon a woman. So, why is Jesus Christ unique? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God, 100% divine. Mary was a real human being. She wasn't somebody, she was privileged, but she wasn't any different from you or I. She was actually a poor young woman. But Jesus Christ was 100% divine, 100% human, one person. I can't get my head around this, especially at this early time. But John put it, we had the reading last night, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Son of God. And the Word became flesh, became a human being, and dwelt among us. That was the crisis 2,000 years ago that divided the history of the world into two parts. So God did not change into a man. God still remained God. God didn't put on the mask of humanity. He actually became a real human being. And you can't understand that, right? None of us can. But we can worship. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Can you do that this morning? How did we put it? Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. No wonder we say, oh, come, let us adore him. God, man, born for you and for me. So that's the first thing. It's a crisis in world history because who Jesus is. Then secondly, this is a personal crisis, definitely for Joseph. What's the background here? Joseph was a just man. He was a righteous man. And he was betrothed to Mary. What does that mean? It doesn't just mean that they were engaged to be married. It was much more binding than that. If you were to break a betrothal, you were divorcing the person. So Joseph, a righteous man, discovers that his wife-to-be is pregnant. And he hasn't slept with her. So he's thinking, how can this be? Somebody else must have slept with her. She's been unfaithful. Now, he's a just man, so he can't go on with this marriage. And yet, he's a just man who loves Mary. And so, if he does divorce her publicly, the shame that that would bring upon her. So, she is going to be divorced secretly. That's what he's planning. He's in a crisis, isn't he? It's no fault of Joseph that Mary is found pregnant. And then God intervenes and the angel comes. Verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to divorce her secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said what we've just heard. I love that. Are you in a crisis at this moment? Think of a person in a divorce, maybe. An innocent party in a divorce, through no fault of their own. They find themselves in an impossible situation. Are you in an impossible situation this morning? Listen, God sometimes allows us, as his children, to reach the very end of our own plans. Joseph, I'm sure, had been thinking these things through. What am I going to do? I want to do the most honorable thing. And he had his back against the wall. And then God intervenes by sending the angel. It's not a carol, it's a hymn. I like it. When all things seem against us, to drive us to the point of despair. Not quite the point, but drive us to the borderlands of despair. We know one gate is open. one ear will hear our prayer. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're in a crisis and if you don't know where to turn, look up. God will intervene in his time. He is faithful. I was privileged a couple of years ago now to stand in the fields. Well, I don't know if they were the exact fields where the shepherds were. Not on a cold winter's night, but on a very warm summer's day. I was standing in the fields outside Bethlehem. And we had a Palestinian guide, a Christian Palestinian. And he was sharing with us about his crisis. Because the Palestinians have had their land taken from them. And they're living on the West Bank. And so if they want to go to the coast, for example, they've got to get a personal visa, to all intents and purposes, just to go to the beach for the day. So he was telling us, as a Christian, we are in a crisis. We don't know what to do. And some of our people are turning to violence to try and break through the loggerheads. And this is what he told us. This was a Christian speaking now. He said, I don't think that's right. I don't think it's right for us to force things. And this is what he said. We've just got to trust in the Lord. We've got to trust in the Lord. And even if he doesn't mean us to have our land back, I'm sure he'll have something better for us. I like that, don't you? Joseph here was in a mess in a way, but God intervened. And my, didn't God have something better for him and Mary? So I just want to encourage you this morning to keep on trusting the Lord. God, if you've got your back up against the wall, if you look up to God, he will have something better for you. And then the most important point I've got, third reason why this is a crisis, and this is really important. Whatever our problems are, right, they're nothing compared to our need of salvation. This is a crisis of salvation. The name of Jesus. She will bring forth a son, verse 21, and you shall call his name Jesus. What does it mean? It's the Greek for the Hebrew word Joshua. What does it mean? It means deliverer. What does it mean? It means someone who saves. And you and I's ultimate crisis is not all the terrible things that are happening to us. Even COVID, even our problems, that's not the ultimate crisis. The ultimate crisis is sin, this horrible spiritual disease. And God sent Jesus Christ in order to deliver us from sin. That's the greatest story, the Christmas story, the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Notice what the angel says, he will in the New King James, in the Authorized, he shall save his people from their sins. Aren't you glad this morning that God is a God of the shalls? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the same God who has all power is a God of grace, is the God of I will? You know, when we see people maybe doing something wrong and getting into a mess as a result, don't we sometimes think, let them stew in it? You know, don't we feel like that? Even if we're just driving and somebody cuts us up in front. We don't know them, and yet there is something in our hearts which says, oh, you deserve to crash. Well, that's what I think. But God, he doesn't say, let us stew in our sin. He looks in mercy upon us. And he doesn't say to us, look, you're in a mess. Pull yourself together, man. I'll send you a stick. You've got to get yourself up. Oh, no. God, what does God do? God comes himself. God comes himself in the person of Jesus Christ. God comes himself and isn't just born in the stable, but grows up and suffers all the horrible things we have to suffer. Bar sin. He's tempted. He grieves, he's in pain, he lives in poverty, he goes through all the range of human experience. Whatever you're suffering, he has suffered. And he's doing it all as our substitute. And then his life is cut short at the age of 33, not as an accident, but in the plan and purpose of salvation. That's where he deals with our sin. You know what the cross was? It was the Roman gibbet. It was the Roman place of execution. And the most perfect, spotless, innocent human being to have walked the face of this earth was condemned to such an horrible death because he was bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. Some of us have been helped by Tim Keller's little book on Christmas. Let me just read a quotation from him. Tim Keller is called the Evangelist of Manhattan. God is infinitely holy, so our sin could not be shrugged off. He is infinitely loving. He knows we could never climb up to him. So he has come down to us. That's Christmas. God had to come himself and do what we couldn't do. He didn't send someone. He doesn't send a committee report or a preacher to tell you to save yourself. He comes himself and fetches us. Praise the Lord. There's a song here. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek. It was to save he came. And when we call him Saviour, and when we call him Saviour, and when we call him Saviour, then we call him by his name. Joseph wasn't given a choice, was he? What name he was to give to the newborn baby. Now, you all choose, don't you, the names of your children. But Joseph and Mary were told to name him Jesus. And what did Joseph do? He acted in faith. And it's as if Joseph is trusting this God for his salvation. And that's a lovely picture of faith. You have got to call this newborn baby Jesus for yourself. You have got to come, as it were, to your senses and say, oh, I'm the sinner. Yes, I've got problems, just as anybody else has. But my ultimate problem is that I'm not right with God. I've got this heart that is sinful, even if I don't do things that are wrong. I've still got these sinful desires in me. And I know I deserve God's judgment, but I hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. And I want to come to Jesus Christ. And if I've come, I want to come again to him. Don't you? We didn't have a Welsh carols this year. I really miss not having the carols in Welsh. And there's a Welsh carol called O Deuet Pob Christion I Fethlem yr Awron, I Weled Mor Graslon Yw Dyw. And it's been translated, and it puts it like this. Do you feel like you can't come this morning? You're not good enough. Listen, all poor men and women and boys and girls and humble, all lame men who stumble, come, haste, nor feel afraid. For Jesus, our treasure, with love past all measure, in lowly, poor manger was laid. Come, just as you are. His love has broken every barrier down. However big the obstacle, come. May I have a blessed Christmas, because in spite of our lockdown, in our hearts, we're going to be greeting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. And may you have this crisis, this watershed moment that will change your life forever, that you come to Jesus Christ. And then, you see, the rest of your life is going to be completely different. You are now going to have Jesus within you by his Spirit. You're going to have Jesus with you along the rough and the narrow way. And you are going to be going to your heavenly home. Instead of going on the broad road, the popular road that leads in the end to destruction, you're going to be going on the narrow path that, however difficult, is going to lead to life, eternal life. Trust, trust, trust. And even if your back is up against the wall, who knows? Even when God saves you, who knows whether he has something better in store? We've all got the best ahead of us, haven't we? Isn't that great? Do you sometimes worry that you're not going to make it, that you're going to die of COVID or something? Why worry? The best is ahead of us. May God bless us all, and may we have a truly happy Christmas. For happy is the man whose hopes rely on Israel's God, the God and Father of Jesus Christ, for his name's sake. Now we're going to sing together. The best of carols, Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. They couldn't sing with grace in their hearts, could they? They could only praise God for providing a saviour for sinners. But we can sing as those who've experienced Jesus Christ for ourselves. So we'll stand to sing this carol.
Oh,
Come then, desire of nations, come and fix in us thy humble home, and rise the woman's conquering seed, and bruise in us the serpent's head. Now display thy saving power, ruined nature, now restore, and now in that lovely mystic union, join thine to ours, and ours to thine. Father, we just praise thee for that union which we have with thee, the triune God, and that wherever we're going now, we have Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Lord, we want to have a foretaste of heaven before we get there. Hear us, O God, and bless us for the rest of today. Help us to enjoy thy good gifts, for all good things come from heaven above. Praise the Lord for his great love. May that grace of Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now, today and into eternity, forever and ever. Amen.